Hello and welcome to the February issue of Rotary Magazine. I'm Dave King, Managing Editor of the magazine. Thank you for joining this audio version where the theme is about the Rotary Foundation. Now, I've been a Rotarian for about 13 years. I'm not sure I properly understood the work of Rotary's charity until I took on this job with the magazine. To be blunt, the Rotary Foundation is wide-reaching in its work, but sometimes a little complex with its organisation. Well, this issue attempts to break that down with a comprehensive but clear look at the workings of this important part of Rotary. I hope you enjoy these and other stories in the magazine, which you can share via your social media networks. Enjoy. The Rotary Foundation is a body with many arms and immense strength. It also carries considerable impact towards the global reach of Rotary. The unprecedented decision to devote virtually an entire issue of the magazine to the Rotary Foundation was prompted by a belief that Rotarians would benefit from diving deep into its work and impact. This structure and style of the magazine is very different from others. It is a one-stop shop explaining everything about an aspect of Rotary which most Rotarians know something about, but few fully understand all of its work. Here is an opportunity to explain Rotary's charity in full, from the starting point of someone unconnected with the organisation wanting to know more. In future, this issue of Rotary Magazine could serve as an important reference point for new members and even existing ones. Thanks to the help of the Rotary Foundation team for Great Britain and Ireland, John Donnell, Mike Hodge, Tom Hunt and Adrian Fairs, it reflects the charity's work both within these aisles and globally. This month's issue explains how the Foundation operates, detailing exactly what it does and why. The global grant system is often misunderstood, so here it is outlined with a frequently asked questions section. Several pages have been allocated to a People of Action special, illustrating how that money has been spent. We look at community projects in Great Britain and Ireland, along with initiatives which have created fundamental changes to disadvantaged communities overseas, thanks to partnership working. Further, we have explained how it has had such a vital impact in war-torn areas such as the Ukraine. Coincidentally, April's issue of Rotary Magazine will be looking more in depth at the work of Rotary GB&I in providing humanitarian aid to the Ukraine, as well as supporting refugees in these aisles. Finally, this month, we have addressed how and why Rotarians should think of the Foundation as their charity of choice. With so much call on our time and money, it is easy to ignore Rotary's own charity, a cause right on our doorstep. With that in mind, we discuss how you can make a difference by donating regularly, and also why you should consider legacy giving. Hopefully this issue will answer many previously unanswered questions and inspire you to get involved. So, by the time you reach the And Finally column, which has been penned by John Donnell, you will understand why the Rotary Foundation is the beating heart of all that we do within Rotary. Ironically, the one area of Foundation work not covered is the End Polio Now campaign, since that has been widely reported in previous magazines and will continue to do so in future issues. At this point, I should note the sad news in the new year of the death of Rotarian and Polio Ambassador Colin Powell at the age of 73. Last year, Colin was presented with an MBE by King Charles. Colin was featured in last October's Rotary magazine when he said, "I have an enormous pride and respect for all that Rotary has done to achieve such a phenomenal reduction in the numbers of children getting polio." Colin was an inspiring man who will be a big loss to Rotary and to the End Polio Now campaign.
What is the Rotary Foundation? Story by John Donnell, Regional Foundation Coordinator, Region 2021, GB&I. As Rotary's one and only charity, the Rotary Foundation, TRF, taps into a global network of Rotarians who invest their time, money and expertise into priorities that align with our 7 areas of focus. Foundation grants empower Rotarians to approach problems such as disease, poverty, illiteracy and malnutrition with sustainable solutions that leave a lasting impact. The Rotary Foundation is known throughout the world for its exceptional financial management and for the efficient use of its donations. Every year since 2008, TRF has received the top 4-star rating from Charity Navigator, the world's largest and most trusted charity evaluator. This rating is a standard achieved by only 1% of charities for judicious care of donors' money. What is the Rotary Foundation? The foundation was created in 1917 by Rotary International's, RI's, 6th president, Arch Klumpf. It was established as an endowment fund to provide an ongoing and sustainable income for Rotary to allow us to do good in the world. It has grown from an initial contribution of $26.50 from the Rotary Club of Kansas City to more than $1 billion. It provides grants of over $1 million per day to support projects led by Rotarians. Today, TRF has one of the largest and most prestigious international fellowship programs in the world. Since it was founded, it has spent more than $4 billion on life-changing, sustainable projects. TRF's mission is to enable Rotarians to advance world understanding, goodwill, and peace through the improvement of health, the support of education, and the alleviation of poverty. Our foundation has special qualities because it is an enabling foundation. It is a not-for-profit organization that is supported solely by donations from its members and friends. TRF asks us to donate, just like other charities, but it also asks us to get involved and utilize the funds. Our foundation is able to achieve its mission through the generous contributions and the active participation of its members. A major recipient of donations to TRF is the annual fund. When we donate, half our contributions are directed to the District Fund and the other half to the World Fund. Both help support and enable Rotary projects to become a reality through global and district grants. Leadership. The Board of Trustees manages the business of the Foundation, led by the Trustee Chair, who is currently RI Past President Ian Risley from Australia. The Rotary International President-elect nominates the Trustees, who are elected by the Rotary International Board of Directors. The Trustee Chair serves for 1 year, and the Trustees serve for 4 years. Foundation Achievements. The Foundation leads the way on worldwide Rotary campaigns, such as eradicating polio and promoting peace. In 1930, the Foundation made its first grant of $500 to the International Society for Crippled Children. In 1947, following the death of Rotary's founder, Paul Harris, scholarships were the first large program to be set up. These scholarships were established predominantly as a tribute to Paul. To date, more than 350,000 scholarships have been awarded, allowing recipients to study overseas. Polio eradication is Rotary's top philanthropic priority. Rotary launched the Polio Plus program in 1985. In 1988, when Rotary began working with its partners in the Global Polio Eradication Initiative, there were more than 350,000 polio cases in over 125 countries. Since then, nearly 3 billion children have been immunized against polio, and the incidence of polio has decreased by 99.9%. As of 2021, Rotary's contributions to the global polio eradication effort, including matching funds from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, exceeded $2 billion. In 2002, TRF established the Peace Fellow Program. Since then, the Rotary Peace Centers have trained more than 1,400 fellows who now work in more than 115 countries. Many serve as leaders in governments, NGOs, the military, education, law enforcement, and international organizations like the United Nations and the World Bank. Hundreds of thousands of people now enjoy access to clean water, healthcare, and education thanks to TRF's humanitarian projects. With thanks to the original author, Rotarian Anne Matthews, from the District 9560 Passport Club, Australia.
Rotary Foundation FAQs. What is the Rotary Foundation? The Rotary Foundation is Rotary's own charity. It exists to support Rotarians and their clubs in the charitable activities that clubs choose and undertake themselves. The mission of the Rotary Foundation of Rotary International is to enable Rotarians to advance world understanding, goodwill, and peace through the improvement of health, the support of education, and the alleviation of poverty. The Rotary Foundation is governed by a Board of Trustees. The headquarters of the Rotary Foundation is in Evanston, Illinois, USA, but it also has associate foundations in other countries, including Rotary Foundation of the United Kingdom. All contributions to either the Rotary Foundation directly or any of its associate foundations are essential to securing and growing Rotary programs throughout the world. Since it was founded over 100 years ago, the Rotary Foundation has spent $4 billion on life-changing, sustainable projects around the world. It currently awards grants averaging about $1 million per day. Where can I get current information on my foundation giving? Log in to My Rotary and open My Account by clicking on your name in the top corner. The drop-down box has a tab for My Donations. How difficult is it for a club to withdraw funds from the foundation? Clubs do not withdraw funds as such, but apply for grants. Funds are made available to districts on an annual basis for the purpose of supporting club projects. These are known as district grants. The process is managed by individual districts. Global grants can be applied for projects in excess of $30,000. An international partner is required. Districts have access to the Rotary Foundation Funds DDF, District Designated Funds, which are available to support projects. This also can attract matched funding from the World Fund of the Rotary Foundation. How do I give to the Rotary Foundation? If you are a UK taxpayer, contributions should be made to the Rotary Foundation to gain the benefit of gift aid. Go to www.rotarygbi.org/donate to see how to donate and the variety of funds that the gift can be directed towards. How do the investment performance and investment costs and charges of the foundation compare with other similar-sized funds? Programme awards and operations amount to 92% of expenditure of the Rotary Foundation, leaving 8% for administration and fund development. Most international charities have administration expenses ranging between 20% and 40%. What is the difference between a PHF and a PHS? PHF, Paul Harris Fellow, recognises a gift or accumulation of a gift of $1,000, or the donor can award a PHF to a third party in recognition of service, having given $1,000 to the Rotary Foundation themselves. PHS, Paul Harris Society, recognises an individual's commitment to contribute $1,000 to the Rotary Foundation, any of the programmes, every year that they are able to. Why do districts get only 50% back from the foundation of the donations they make? A small amount helps cover costs, but the majority is held in the World Fund, which clubs and districts can access for additional financial support for global grant projects.
A Guide to Global Grants. Global grants support large international activities with sustainable, measurable outcomes in Rotary's areas of focus. By working together to respond to real community needs, clubs and districts strengthen their global partnerships. What can global grants support? Global grants can fund humanitarian projects, scholarships for graduate-level academic studies, vocational training teams, which are groups of professionals who travel abroad either to teach local professionals about their field or to learn more about it themselves. Do these have to be big projects? Projects supported with a global grant must have a minimum budget of $30,000, about £27,000. This is to ensure that we are working on larger projects with more impact, meeting the needs of the community. It is important to include sufficient funds to ensure the sustainability of the project, including such matters as training. Where does the money come from? The funds can come from cash that you and your club raise, from your district's DDF, District Designated Fund, a block grant of money your district has each year to support the Rotary Foundation's work with clubs in your district, and the Rotary Foundation World Fund, which itself matches 80% of the DDF contributions included in the funding plans. Do we have to work with any partners on the project? Global grants are designed for two or more clubs in different countries to work together, cementing the wider community within which Rotary works and bringing a variety of knowledge and skills to our projects. Where can I get more information? There's a wealth of information on the Rotary website. Start with my.rotary.org/en/take-action/apply-grants/global-grants. For more details, see the resources and reference documents on that page. But first, talk to your district Rotary Foundation committee. Who should I contact for help? The first point of call, early in thinking about any project, should be to contact your own district Rotary Foundation team. They will evaluate ideas, ensuring the project meets the guidelines for a sustainable project of lasting community value. That help is available from the Rotary Foundation, regardless of the current availability of funds for a grant. If there are funds in the district grant or the DDF, the team would advise on how to apply for financial support from these funds. Others able to help would be the regional team of Rotary Foundation coordinators. Currently, John Daynell, john@jdaynell.net, that's john@jdehnel.net, leads that team, and he will put you in touch with the most appropriate contact. The Rotary Foundation in Evanston has a team of grant officers, with Elizabeth Davis, elizabeth.davis@rotary.org, that's elizabeth.davis@rotary.org, being the main support for Rotary and GB&I. The Rotary Foundation has a team called the Rotary Foundation Cadre of Technical Advisors, Rotarians who are professional specialists in various fields related to our areas of focus. They are ready to advise on project design and implementation anywhere in the world. Search for Rotary Cadre on the Rotary International website for full information.
Funding the Rotary Foundation. The amount of money the Rotary Foundation has awarded annually in global grants has more than doubled since the grants were introduced. From $47.3 million in 2013-14 to $130 million in 2021-22. Yet demand for global grants is so high that it has outpaced annual fund contributions, which means not all eligible global grant requests can receive funding. To ensure that the Rotary Foundation can fund as many global grants as possible in the future, the trustees of the Rotary Foundation approved policy changes effective July 2021. These changes will improve the Foundation's ability to support more large-scale sustainable projects for years to come. Our funds, annual fund, sometimes known as share, is the primary source of funding for a broad range of local and international Rotary Foundation activities. Every Rotarian Every Year, EREY, is an initiative to encourage every Rotarian to invest in the annual fund every year, no matter how large or small may be the amount. Contributions to the annual fund from Rotary members and other donors are directed into two sub-funds, the World Fund and District Designated Funds. Through the share system, contributions are transformed into grants. The World Fund provides funding for our highest priority activities around the globe. 47.5% of annual fund designated contributions are applied to the World Fund. The Foundation uses the World Fund to pay for grant and programme opportunities available to all Rotary districts, including Polio Plus, Rotary Peace Centres, programmes of scale grants, global grants, and more. District Designated Funds, DDF, can be used by districts to pay for Foundation, club, and district projects that a club and others in the district choose. Districts may use up to half their DDF to fund district grants. The remainder may be used for global grants or donated to Polio Plus, the Peace Centres, or another district. The Endowment Fund, financed by cash gifts and bequests left by Rotary members and their families, ensures the long-term viability of the Foundation and its grants and programmes. Spendable earnings from the endowment enable the Foundation to expand existing activities and underwrite new ones. Contributions are invested in perpetuity. A percentage of the total value of the fund is directed annually to foundation grants and programmes. Disaster Response Fund. The Rotary Foundation supports disaster relief and recovery efforts through grants from the Rotary Disaster Response Fund. Districts that have been affected by natural disasters can use Rotary Disaster Response grants to launch their own projects or work with established relief organisations to help their communities recover. Grant funds can be used to provide basic items such as water, food, medicine and clothing. Districts work closely with local officials and groups to ensure that the funding will meet a specific community need. How to donate? Donating to the Rotary Foundation is making an investment in the future of our society. Doing so is simple, particularly by card and online. Rotarians in Great Britain and Ireland should go to the Rotary GB&I website, where there is a donate button in the top right of the home page. Clicking that takes the donor to the donate page with some initial information. The donate button towards the bottom of that page opens up the following buttons: Annual Fund, End Polio Now, Disaster Response, Endowment Fund. This page also includes icons facilitating donations direct to projects in any one of our 7 areas of focus. Each of these icons opens a screen allowing single or regular donations and of set amounts or an amount of the donor's choice. The money is collected by a credit or debit card payment. Other means of paying to RFUK are detailed in the same pages. Recognition. All our donors receive thanks and recognition for their donation from us. Further detail of recognitions is on the RI website. Gift aid. Donations made by UK taxpayers can benefit from gift aid. The Rotary Foundation UK can claim a significant additional 25% from HMRC, provided the donor pays sufficient UK tax to cover that amount and completes the appropriate gift aid form. Those are available on the Rotary GB&I website. How are the funds disbursed? 50% match on DDF contributions to Polio Plus. DDF contributions to Polio Plus are matched by the World Fund at 50%. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation continues to match 2-to-1 every dollar that Rotary commits to polio eradication, up to $50 million per year. That underlines why it is vital we continue to make fundraising for polio eradication a top priority. $20,000 DDF contribution to Polio Plus, plus $10,000 50% World Fund match, plus $60,000 Gates Foundation match equals $90,000 for polio eradication. 80% match on DDF applied to global grants. In past years, the World Fund has been depleted before the Rotary year ends. To ensure the Foundation can fund more of the eligible global grant requests received, DDF applied to global grants is matched at 80% rather than 100% as in earlier years. Note that there is no match from the World Fund on cash contributions to grants. $40,000 DDF applied to global grant plus $32,000 80% World Fund match equals $72,000 for global grant. Shared funding of operating expenses. 5% of annual fund contributions are used to cover Rotary Foundation operating expenses. 95% of donations to the annual fund are split equally between DDF and the World Fund. 5% of Disaster Response Fund contributions are retained towards operating expenses. $100 annual fund share contribution. $47.50 DDF. $47.50 World Fund, $5 operating expenses. 5-year limit on DDF carryover. Donors contribute to the annual fund with the expectation that these donations will be used to help communities in the near future. However, the amount of DDF carried over from year to year remains high. For example, in the year 2021-22, in Rotary GB and I alone, over $1.2 million of DDF was unused. This was carried forward to the current year. Starting on the 1st of July 2026, and at the end of each Rotary year thereafter, DDF amounts that have been held for 5 years or more must be used. DDF that is not used can be applied to the Disaster Response Fund, the Endowment Fund, Polio Plus, the Rotary Peace Centres, or the World Fund, at the district's discretion. If no fund is selected by the district, the carryover will be allocated to the World Fund. 2021-22. DDF new, $50,000. DDF rollover, $20,000. DDF spent, minus $40,000. Rollover remaining after 1 year, $20,000. $10,000. 2022-23. DDF new, $50,000. DDF rollover, $30,000. DDF spent, minus $45,000. Rollover remaining after 2 years, $20,000. Rollover remaining after 1 year, $10,000. 2023-24. DDF new, $50,000. DDF rollover, $35,000. DDF spent, minus $55,000. Rollover remaining after 3 years, $15,000. Rollover remaining after 2 years, $10,000. Rollover remaining after 1 year, $5,000. 2024-25. DDF new, $50,000. DDF rollover, $30,000. DDF spent, minus $60,000. Rollover remaining after 4 years, $5,000. Rollover remaining after 3 years, $10,000. Rollover remaining after 2 years, $5,000. 2025-26. DDF new, $50,000. DDF rollover, $20,000. DDF spent, minus $65,000. Rollover remaining after 5 years, $0. Rollover remaining after 4 years, $0. Rollover remaining after 3 years, $5,000. Further information. There is a wealth of information on the grants provided by the Rotary Foundation to support projects and programmes which Rotarians wish to support, and on the funding programmes. Just search Rotary Foundation Grants. The financial reports of the Rotary Foundation and of Rotary International are published annually on the RI website. Search for Rotary Financials.
Why Give to the Rotary Foundation? Story by Tom Hunt, Endowment and Major Gifts Advisor. When it comes to personal giving, there are three questions to ask. Do you give personally to the Rotary Foundation? Do you give via your club? Do you not donate at all? If you're in the first category, then on behalf of the Rotary Foundation, thank you for helping us to continue to do good in the world. If you're in the second, then ensure your treasurer completes the reverse of the donation form so that we are able to append the donation against your Rotary record. It is really important to record an individual's donations so that when certain levels are met, you can be recognised. A perfect example of this is the $100 sustaining member level. There could be thousands of Rotarians in the UK who have reached this level, but we don't know about it. If you're in the third category, then give me a call on 07860 525 831, or email me at tomhunt@littlebarnca.co.uk. That's tomhunt@littlebarnca.co.uk. I would welcome a conversation to understand why you do not wish to support our charity. I just want an open and frank discussion and will respect your views. I truly believe that our foundation should be every Rotarian's charity of choice, and that everyone should appreciate that our foundation is at the core of everything we do as Rotarians. Here are testimonials from two Rotarians who contribute, explaining why. I make personal contributions to the Rotary Foundation because it is my go-to charity. Too many charities are now businesses whose expenses and running costs are disproportionate to their income. The Rotary Foundation has clearly defined areas of focus. It's effective, it's ethical, it's sustainable, and it's transparent. The Foundation is run at all levels by Rotarians who have the same values as I do, so I trust them implicitly to use my contributions to implement the humanitarian projects which improve the lives of those less fortunate than myself, irrespective of their race, gender, age, or religion. Here are the ways I give. As a sustaining member, I make contributions to Rotary's annual programmes fund on a monthly basis. These contributions go towards projects which address the immediate need of those we help. I also make regular contributions to Polio Plus. This is to help fulfil Rotary's goal and the promise to the children of the world to eradicate this terrible disease once and for all. My wife and I have also made a gift in our wills to Rotary's endowment fund, which means our gift will live on in perpetuity for the benefit of mankind long after we are both gone. Ashley Gray, Walsall Saddlers Rotary Club, West Midlands. I give personally to our Rotary Foundation because it gives me choices. I can place it in any of the seven areas of focus and end polio now, and I know that it will be used by people like me, Rotarians, to do good in the world without using up lots of my gifting on overheads. Cheryl Law, Wendover and District Rotary Club, Buckinghamshire.
The value of scholarship. The Rotary Foundation, TRF, and clubs invest in our future leaders and philanthropists by funding scholarships for undergraduate and graduate study. In 1947, following the death of Rotary's founder, Paul Harris, scholarships were the first large programme funded by the Rotary Foundation to be set up. To date, more than 350,000 scholarships have been awarded. Types of scholarship. Rotary clubs offer scholarships for secondary, undergraduate, or graduate study. District grants can be used to sponsor secondary school, undergraduate, or graduate students studying any subject, either locally or abroad. The scholarship may cover any length of time, from a 6-week language training programme to a year or more of university study. Global grants are for graduate students studying abroad in one of Rotary's seven areas of focus, and planning on a career allied to that area. Scholarships can last from 1 to 4 years and can include an entire degree programme. Global grant scholarships are funded using cash or district-designated funds matched by the World Fund. The value of Rotary scholarships versus humanitarian aid. To answer this question, consider the impact of education. Humanitarian aid and development is relatively easy to measure, and for some is the best solution to helping people. For others, they see that investment in people and education can have a bigger return over a longer period of time. In the end, there is no right or wrong answer. Both perspectives can coexist, and Rotary offers Rotarians a menu of programmes from which to choose. Rotarians do have a strong historical commitment to supporting education through scholarships, and this is likely to continue as long as Rotarians choose to support Global Grant Scholars and the Rotary Peace Centres. This is the beauty of our Rotary Foundation. We have seven areas of focus. We offer opportunities to support humanitarian projects, graduate scholarships and adult skills building through our vocational training teams. Rotary, supported by its own charity, the Rotary Foundation, gives members the opportunity to get involved with an area that they are passionate about. Last year, TRF approved 1,197 global grants. Of these grants, 1,027, 86%, were for humanitarian projects, 145, 12%, for scholarships, and 26, 2%, were vocational training teams. This distribution of activities is relatively consistent year to year. So, we can see that the majority of Rotarians and TRF's investment is in humanitarian projects. However, a small percentage of our membership see value in helping young people to gain a graduate degree in one of our areas of focus. They believe that this will have a larger positive impact on our society. In a survey of our scholars between 2014 and 2018, respondents told us 90% of global grant scholars are using their area of focus expertise in their paid work. 91% stated that global grant scholarships are helping scholars achieve their career goals and make a positive impact in their chosen area of focus. Most global grant scholars hold positions in organisations that are making a difference in society. 10% of respondents are currently club members. Most of those who were not club members are still in contact with members. 68% of respondents are interested in increasing their engagement with Rotary through membership, service programmes, or alumni networks. Our scholarship programmes will have a large positive impact on our society, supporting Rotary's aims of service above self.
Investing in the Future, story by Adrian Fayers, Rotary Club of Dulwich, Peckham and Crystal Palace. Do you ever get that feeling when global scholars are introduced that somewhere in your mind you think overprivileged, overfunded and over here? Well, it's time to get over it. Talk with and listen to these young people and you will find such diversity of background, both financially and culturally, you'll find bright searching minds wanting to make a difference in the world, wanting to help humanity. There are between 200 to 300 scholars each year across the world. The largest group, approximately 50%, arrive in the UK. And of those, half come to London because of the fantastic reputation of the capital's universities, as well as to experience life in London. Interestingly, the United States accounts for 40% of scholarships, but only 20% choose to go to the US to study. There's no doubting the scholars' academic abilities studying at prestigious establishments such as the London School of Economics, University College London, King's College London, the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, but what of their knowledge of Rotary and where do the students see their involvement in the future? Last October, 28 global scholars in District 1130, London, and three global scholars hosted by District 1260, Bedfordshire, Buckinghamshire, Hertfordshire, had an orientation day in London. This was an opportunity to ask those questions which we all want answers to. Frank questions often get frank answers, such as, does this opportunity make any difference to their careers and could they have got this elsewhere? What are their aspirations career-wise and where do they see their connection with Rotary developing? Does Rotary have a place in the future, both in the community and in their lives? Their answers were surprisingly personal. Financially, some students could not have accessed further education in their chosen field without Rotary's help. For some, this was a fantastic opportunity to gain knowledge and connections that would help them further their passion in areas of healthcare, conflict resolution and international relations. The list is long. All were passionately committed to gaining and using skills to help others. What of Rotary? As you would expect, all were complimentary of what Rotary is doing, but reassuringly, most said they would become Rotarians and that their sponsoring clubs and districts were already encouraging them to do so. A few students hoped that they would be invited to join, so there is a message to sponsoring clubs and to ourselves. Once these amazing young people finish their courses, ask. The Rotary Foundation, it is all about investing in the future. Graduating over the pond. James is a fine young man with a bright future ahead of him. It was our privilege to sponsor such a worthy and talented young man. Rotary scholars don't only arrive in Great Britain and Ireland from abroad to study in these isles with the benefit of a global grant. The relationship is two-way. Students are also able to take advantage of the scheme to study abroad. One of those is James E. Brown from Denton in Greater Manchester, who arrived at the University of Michigan in August 2021 as a global grant scholar. James was sponsored by the Tameside Rotary Club and funded by District Designated Fund from District 1285, Northwest England. James was hosted by the Rotary Club of Ann Arbor, where he thoroughly enjoyed this opportunity to pursue his Master of Law, LLM degree, at the University of Michigan Law School. He had already completed his Bachelor of Law in this country. The prestigious law school graduation was last May at Hill Auditorium, Michigan. James is interested in human rights and refugee affairs. He was impressed with the many international scholars that taught classes at the University of Michigan Law School. James has been offered an internship with the United Nations in Geneva this summer. In autumn of 2022, he began studying on a postgraduate programme at the London School of Economics. Tameside Rotarians Peter Holden, who was club secretary, and foundation chairman Cliff Hall had the pleasure to spend time with James before he headed to Michigan. They were impressed to hear firsthand the excellent opportunities provided by the Rotary International Global Grant Programme. Cliff Hall said, "James is a fine young man with a bright future ahead of him. It was our privilege to sponsor such a worthy and talented young man, and Tameside Rotary wishes James all the best for the future." How Rotary Supports Ukraine, story by Howard Kasky, Rotary Foundation Team Leader, Ireland. Russia's invasion of Ukraine on February the 24th last year brought death and destruction, provoking Europe's largest refugee crisis since World War II, with nearly 8 million Ukrainians fleeing the country. As a result, Rotary Foundation trustees reacted amazingly quickly. The war in Ukraine was classified a disaster, and within a matter of days, the World Fund made disaster response grants of $25,000 available to any Rotary district directly affected by the conflict. The Republic of Ireland was one of the first countries to open its doors to the refugees, and in District 1160, which is Rotary in Ireland, we were exposed to their plight right from the start. Last April, Rotary in Ireland was one of the first districts within Great Britain and Ireland to be allocated a disaster response grant. Even before that, virtually every club in the district, both north and south of the border, had started to fundraise in a show of determined support for Ukraine. Only a handful of those clubs were engaged in hands-on, face-to-face support projects with refugees. However, the $25,000 grant was divided amongst five of them. Rotary in Ireland forwarded a spending report to the Rotary Foundation in early August, and within 3 days of the grant being signed off, we submitted a second request, which was agreed almost immediately. That second tranche of $25,000 was divided amongst a further five Rotary clubs to support their projects. It is our intention to apply for a third grant. Rotary clubs worked in tandem with other service organisations and government agencies who were confronted by a seemingly endless stream of families who arrived on these shores from Ukraine. They were exhausted from travel, hungry, in shock, with many lacking language skills. Most had little or no personal possessions. The idea of preparing welcome packs was simply inspired. These included essential clothing, fresh underwear, snacks, basic medical support, footwear, pet food, pyjamas, slippers. We also consider items you might not immediately think of, phone chargers, toys to keep the children amused, and books. Accommodation had to be secured, kitchen equipment bought or leased, bedding sought along with cooking and eating utensils, crockery, washing machines and dryers, food supplies, toiletries, warm clothing. The list of Phase 1 essentials was mind-boggling. Once the families settled, Phase 2 requirements quickly came into play. Here we focused on English classes, swimming lessons, on-location childcare and counselling services, children's play areas, bicycles for mobility and training for employment. For the past 6 months, Rotarians have never stopped rising to the challenge, and Rotary is now recognised as the go-to organisation by those refugees arriving in Ireland who are in desperate need. Rotary disaster response grants may be just a small part of the total amount of money spent, but they are a very welcome and important part of the support Rotary was able to give and which became available just when they were needed. Rotary Unites for Good. A Rotary Foundation global grant is helping to support vulnerable children in one of Europe's poorest countries. The project will lay down the foundations for the sustainable development of occupational therapy into Moldova. Story by Martin Wilcox. Moldova is one of Europe's poorest nations, where families and children living with disabilities often face insurmountable obstacles in caring and achieving full integration of their children into society. It's an Eastern European country few knew about until war broke out in neighbouring Ukraine, where there are nearly 100,000 refugees seeking sanctuary in a small and very poor country. In 2019, Rotary clubs in three Great Britain and Ireland districts, spearheaded by Wensfield, D1210, in the West Midlands, and Chislehurst, D1120, in south-east London, supported by German and Dutch clubs, united with the Rotary Club of Chisinau Cosmopolitan in Moldova to secure a global grant with Rotary International. The Rotary Foundation Global Grant will support a vocational training team working in Moldova to improve occupational disciplines. The project was launched 3 years ago with a conference focused on the initial training module based on the Canadian Occupational Performance Measure. However, the project has been held back, first through COVID, which meant that occupational therapist trainers could not travel to Moldova, and then the war in Ukraine both restricted travel and also required many therapists in Moldova to dedicate their time to caring for refugees. Rotary's multi-year vocational training team, VTT, project is looking to improve the standards of occupational therapy in Moldova by drafting in qualified occupational therapists from the UK, Europe and North America to train paediatric practitioners and medical university teams. The project will lay down the foundations for the sustainable development of occupational therapy into Moldova. For the children, training professional paediatric therapists will improve physical and mental health care. This will enable those with physical and neuro disabilities to develop motor skills, cognitive behaviour and planning capacities, and becoming adept at performing otherwise unachievable tasks. The bottom line is that this care will enable the children and their families to achieve far greater potential than they would otherwise expect to achieve. With the help of Rotary's VTT programme and the training of the professionals, it is hoped Moldova will become an accredited country for occupational therapy. The programme is being coordinated by UK charity Child Aid to Eastern Europe and Moldova's foremost paediatric rehabilitation centre, the Tony Hawkes Centre. These, together with the participating Rotary clubs, are now keen to go full steam ahead with the training programme over the next couple of years. However, they are seeking your help. Qualified paediatric occupational therapists are needed to deliver one or more of the specialist modules relating to occupational therapy, such as sensory integration, visual perception, emotional development, feeding, self-care, play, handwriting, and mobility. The training will be delivered over 2 to 3 days to paediatric therapists in Moldova. Flights, accommodation, and per diem are covered by the global grant. Do you know of any occupational therapists or contacts within the profession who may be keen to help improve young lives in Moldova? If so, please contact Martin Wilcox, RC Chislehurst and Child Aid, at charitymanager@childaidee.org.uk. That's charitymanager@childaidee.org.uk. This is a wonderful opportunity for therapists to travel to a truly welcoming and for many culturally different country whilst working to improve the lives of children. Celebrity support for Moldova. Story by Tony Hawkes, author and comedian. I have been strongly connected to the Children's Rehabilitation Centre in Moldova that I'm humbled to say bears my name since I helped set it up with the proceeds of my book Playing the Moldovans at Tennis. I have seen with my own eyes the quite incredible work that the dedicated therapists perform and the even more wonderful results. This is the country's foremost such centre, and the addition of occupational therapy skills will be vital in ensuring that the children receive the fullest care that they deserve. I have been visiting Moldova since the late 1990s and have seen much change, largely good. There is still much needed to be done for this wonderful yet very poor country. Rotary has done a huge amount over the years to improve the lives, from shoeboxes to the country's most effective sensory room at the Tony Hawkes Centre, to an outdoor theatre at a children's centre, and most recently enormous support to Ukrainians who have sought refuge in Moldova. I hope that Rotary's amazing commitment to Moldova will continue for many years to come.
Training the trainers. Karen Evely from Farringdon Rotary Club in Oxfordshire describes her recent vocational training team visit to Uganda. When the Rotary Foundation introduced its new vocational training team, VTT, grant model in 2013, Rotarians in District 1090 in the Thames Valley took advantage of it immediately. At the time, none of us realised that it would lead to 10 visits to rural mission hospitals in Uganda, visiting Kamuli Mission Hospital, and then Ngora Frida Carr Hospital, training hundreds of nursing students, hospital staff and health centre staff in emergency birth skills and neonatal care. I have supported the administration for the VTT since the start and was lucky enough to visit Uganda in November to see the team in action and visit 3 hospitals. Visits have been mostly funded by 3 Rotary Foundation global grants, plus a few foundation district grants, with support from clubs and friends of Rotary within and beyond our district. Our first emergency birth skills team went to Kamuli Mission Hospital, northeast of Kampala, in 2014. Building work was completed in November 2014. The first visit was in March 2014 and the second in September 2014. Following the success of these visits, we were able to fund 3 more visits, partly from Foundation District grants. 2 Rotarians in particular have been completely dedicated to the projects in Uganda. Gillian Pierce of Maidenhead Bridge Rotary has led the training teams since the start, and Jim McWhirter of Reading Matins Rotary has led on the global grant applications, identifying mission hospitals in need of support. On this latest visit, the training team, Rotarian and midwife Gillian Pierce, with 3 senior nurses from the Royal Berkshire Hospital, Claire Carter, Sam Fleming, and Lydia Franklin, spent their time at the Frieda Kahr Hospital. They were training nursing students, hospital staff, and those from local health centres with a focus on birth skills and neonatal care. Jim and I, along with Mark and Sarah Barrett from Reading Matins Rotary, spent most of our time with Rogers Kabuye, a Ugandan doctor who Jim has worked with for many years on hospital projects. We visited three hospitals: Frieda Kahr, where we met the team and attended the hospital's centenary celebrations; Kumi, where we heard about the plans of the new medical director; and Kayangera, a hospital in Kampala where Jim and Mark are planning a new global grant project. The training visits have been a fantastic way to build relationships with staff at the Frieda Kahr Hospital and Nursing School. The focus for the original visits was on training the trainers to develop a sustainable improvement in care on the maternity wards. Hence, when deciding on which hospitals to work with, Jim and his Ugandan colleagues looked for a hospital with a nursing school attached. The team members have trained lots of nursing staff and non-clinical staff, in addition to the tutors and nursing students. Claire was on her third visit to Frieda Kahr Hospital. She explained that if a maternity ward was short-staffed, anyone could be called in to help, having received basic training to assist in an emergency. These projects are not about Rotarians identifying a need and showing Ugandans how they might do things as we do them in Great Britain and Ireland. The nursing staff, medical directors, and administrators knew what they needed to do to improve their hospitals. Partner Club, Kampala Central Rotary, is key to the projects, providing that link with the hospitals and completing community needs assessments. Our host, guide, and driver for the week was Dr. Rogers Kabuye, who was previously a surgeon and a medical director of a rural hospital. As a medical director, he developed a computer system to manage hospital finances, which was copied in other rural hospitals. Rogers met Jim McWhirter in 2011 at Kamuli Mission Hospital, while Jim was on a 6-week clinical visit, and Rogers was meeting the medical director to discuss the computer system installation. The two have worked together since then. At the three hospitals we visited, it was clear to see that Rogers had developed long-term relationships with hospital staff and an in-depth understanding of the operation, issues, and opportunities at each hospital. This was my first visit to Uganda. I expected to see the poverty as we travelled across the country. However, I hadn't expected to see so much activity on the roadside, so many bed frames and doors being made and sold on the highways. I was expecting to see the litter and the potholes in the unsurfaced roads, but I was still shocked by the amount of plastic waste on the ground, and particularly when it spread into streams. However, my overriding memory will be of the meetings which Jim, Rogers, Mark, and I had with the hospital directors, administrators, the sisters running the Mission Hospital, and the Rotarians. It was a privilege to be there, hearing how everyone had so much to contribute to the conversations, the planning, and the development of the hospitals and the healthcare in their communities. And all thanks to the Rotary Foundation. One Voice. Jennifer Jones, Rotary International President, 2022-23. Empowering girls is about more than creating equity. Recently, I spent time in the Nakivale refugee settlement in Uganda. As the settlement in its name suggests, the people living there are free to move around and integrate as best they can, one thing that makes the place unique. I had a chance to play soccer with boys and girls from about a dozen nations and talk with women who had fled areas of conflict. It was a tapestry of human experience, shared through both laughter and tears. As I walked across a school campus at the settlement with a teacher, she shared with me the dire statistics on girls' education. Most don't get through grade school. Many are sold into child marriage to pay for food for their families. As I looked around at these young girls, I was gutted. Our work with empowering girls and women is much more than creating equity. Sometimes it's about health or education. Other times it's about providing safety. Regardless of the path, it's always about basic human rights. We can do more to empower girls and women, and we can expand how we share the progress Rotary members and our partners have made toward this goal. There is no shortage of inspiring examples of our work, from interest-free microcredit loans for women in Nigeria to projects in India that provide girls menstrual hygiene products. Hundreds of projects are taking place across all Rotary areas of focus and are making a meaningful and often life-saving difference. Together, we can address the needs and inequities that girls throughout the world face daily. But we must also monitor the impact of these projects and create awareness of Rotary resources and subject matter experts, including Rotary Action Groups, the Rotary Foundation cadre of technical advisors, Rotary Peace Fellows, and others. It is especially important that we tell the stories of our initiatives that have a positive impact on the lives of women and girls. This last point is near and dear to my heart. This means sharing our stories on social media, through local news outlets, in this magazine, and wherever we can inspire others. As you do so, it's important to provide information that helps our Rotary family connect with others who are implementing activities in their regions, as well as across the world. Let's share our successes and learn from one another, then proudly tell our stories to a larger audience. These are exciting times in Rotary, and the world is taking notice. As we work to empower women and girls to step into their full potential, we create new pathways for membership growth and greater collaboration with partners to create positive, lasting change. Thank you for your continued action in this vital effort. Nikki Scott, RI Director, 2021-23. Creating Hope in the World. What an amazing week at the International Assembly in Orlando, Florida, for more than 500 incoming district leaders across the globe. Rotary International President-elect Gordon McAnally, one of our own, has given us all a wonderful new theme to prepare for in the Rotary year 2023-24, Create Hope in the World. It is, of course, what Rotary does best, creating hope for mankind and for our planet now too, thanks to our new area of focus, sustaining the environment. But in the wake of the pandemic and recent turmoils the world over, we are now more united in our shared sense of purpose than ever. We are #BetterTogether. All Rotarians, Rotaractors and Interactors are being asked to put a renewed emphasis on our core mission of peace, the soil in which hope takes root, as Gordon said. We have done great work to support humanitarian relief efforts for Ukrainians and many others in the wake of war and conflict, but more is needed as peace starts from within. Mental health issues are ever more prevalent, and yet there is still so much stigma associated with this topic worldwide. President-elect Gordon shared a very personal message in Orlando about losing someone close to him to suicide. No one saw this coming. His depression was kept totally hidden. Gordon and his wider family have lived with this for many years and understand firsthand how important it is to destigmatize mental illness so it is easier for sufferers to ask for help. I can also relate. My own mother was diagnosed as a manic depressive, which is now known as bipolar. She died at the age of 45, way too young. Last year, Gordon became an ambassador for Bipolar UK, and Rotary GB and I has entered into a partnership with them, pledging to give support to earlier diagnosis and specialised treatment. I was delighted to attend the parliamentary reception in November 2022 at the launch of the Bipolar Commission report, along with several other Rotary leaders, to learn about the ways we can help and take action. Go to bipolaruk.org/rotary-partnership for more information. There was a huge groundswell at the International Assembly that Rotary should be brave enough to address this important issue of mental health. As a network of 1.4 million members globally, we have the purpose and passion to drive action towards a more hopeful future across the globe, in our communities and in ourselves.
Ian Risley, Rotary Foundation Trustee Chair. A global force for peace. One of the fascinating things about Rotary is that we are many things at once. We're a service organisation based on action. We're also a professional and community networking group, not to mention a place to find friendship and fun. And when you stop to think about it, you and I are also part of a peace organisation. I saw this in 2013 when I represented Rotary at an international symposium on advancing a peaceful democratic transition for Myanmar. Despite recent setbacks, the fact that Rotary was at the table demonstrates that the world sees us as peace builders who are not deterred by the most difficult issues. How did we earn this reputation? Through literacy projects that help people expand their minds and viewpoints, and through water, sanitation, and hygiene projects that create common ground for communities in conflict. The Rotary Action Group for Peace promotes hands-on service projects, and our annual international conventions unite thousands in a celebration of global harmony. Perhaps the most visible face of this cause is the Rotary Peace Centres programme, now in its 21st year. Today, more than 1,600 Rotary Peace Fellows are advancing the cause of peace in more than 140 countries. On February the 1st, we open applications for the next generation of Peace Fellows. Encourage your local peace builders to learn about Rotary and apply for this unique fellowship. And soon, we'll be recruiting fellows for a new peace centre in the Middle East and North Africa region as we begin working this year with a recently selected partner university. Made possible by a generous gift of $15.5 million to the Rotary Foundation from the Otto and Fran Walter Foundation, the addition of this centre furthers Rotary's vision of peacemaking in action. As we celebrate Rotary's 118th anniversary and Peace Building and Conflict Prevention Month, we can be proud of the many ways Rotary promotes peace. Without the Rotary Foundation and your support of it, none of that would be possible. You can directly support this work through the Foundation by visiting rotary.org/donate and selecting the Peace Building and Conflict Prevention area of focus. I also encourage you to contribute to the Ian and Juliet Risley Endowed Fund in the Rotary Foundation to support peace projects. If Paul Harris could see us now, he would be amazed by the astonishing growth of the club he founded in 1905 and the global force for good and peace that Rotary is today.
Amanda Watkin, General Secretary for Rotary GB and I. Rotary is a gift. We are now rolling forward in this new year, but are any of the thoughts that we had in December and January about doing things differently in 2023 just a distant memory, or are they now becoming new habits? My resolution is to tell more people about the great work of the Rotary Foundation and why being a member gives such value to my own life. In this edition of the Rotary magazine, you will find many inspirational stories that will add to your own experience. For me, the Rotary Foundation is most definitely my charity of choice, and in giving, I know that my personal contribution is making a sustainable difference to the well-being of others. No one is judging the size of my contribution. Be it small or large, I know it is making a difference. Knowing this, in turn, makes me feel good, which is maybe a selfish response. However, I know I can't affect the lives of so many by myself. But the Rotary Foundation leverages my gift, as Rotarians around the world deliver projects in all areas of focus, impacting countless lives, and this makes me feel great. Locally, my own Rotary Club contributes to the Rotary Foundation, and in return, we feel able to request Foundation grants to support our work across the Redditch community. There is excellent governance supporting our grant applications, and we know that to use Rotary funding, we are held accountable. Personally, this is another reason I choose to contribute, as I know that whenever and wherever a grant from the Rotary Foundation is applied, Rotary members, just like me, are held to account. This positions our charity in the top slot on the global stage, and I am very proud to be able to tell this story. Often members talk about sharing their experience of being in Rotary, being a part of something bigger than themselves, and the impact this has on them. In 2023, could we all commit to telling the positive story of Rotary and its foundation's impact? I will certainly be keeping my own commitment, and look forward to hearing your stories too. Link to Charity Navigator for the Rotary Foundation, charitynavigator.org/EIN/36324502.
Garth Arnold, Chair of the Board for Rotary GB and I. Our future, doing good in the world. It has been 5 years since I was District Governor, then the centenary of the Rotary Foundation, and I was the 100th District Governor in Ireland. I remember being so passionate and proud about promoting our charity, the Rotary Foundation, and asking local well-known businesses to sponsor a conference gift to promote the 100 years of the Rotary Foundation. It is hard to believe that one idea and an initial contribution of $26.50 set in motion a powerful force that has transformed millions of lives around the globe. What makes our charity appealing to me and why I have been a sustaining member for many years is the high percentage of funds which are spent on program awards and operations and the 4-star charity award given by Charity Navigator. That's notwithstanding the massive work the foundation does around the world. It is the sheer impact of what we can do on a world stage through our global grants that can make us stand out as an organisation. The component we need to ensure we always do is to tell our own stories. It is through telling Rotary stories that we will increase our profile and attract potential new members. By increasing our membership, it increases the potential for more funding for our foundation. Therefore, we can help more people. We are now 7 months into our new governance structure and starting to find our footing. Our two strategic goals are growing membership and foundation. The past couple of years with the pandemic have played havoc with many things, and membership organisations are no different. We have to be prepared to make changes to remain relevant in today's world and be attractive for new people to want to join us. As part of our One Region, One Rotary, One Team is critical growing Rotary Great Britain and Ireland, and clusters are a key component. A global grant by a cluster would be an ideal way of working together. At the other end of the scale, clubs forget that our foundation can help locally too, and the use of district grants is a perfect way to support and put monies back into the local community. I know we see ourselves as working in the community and trying to support worthy causes, but we can do so much more if we direct our monies through our own charity, the Rotary Foundation. Sir Francis Drake's Legacy, story by George Bicknell. An historical project driven by a Tavistock Rotarian has finally come to fruition to provide the town with a more detailed history of local icon Sir Francis Drake. At the height of the Black Lives Matter controversy 3 years ago, the renowned English explorer was among a number of historical figures whose reputations and legacies were questioned because of their links to Britain's colonial past. Sir Francis is renowned for circumnavigating the world in a single expedition on his ship the Golden Hind from 1577 to 1580, and for defeating the Spanish Armada in 1588, but he also has links to the slave trade. Now, in a spirit of understanding, an information panel has been set up near the statue of explorer Sir Francis Drake in Tavistock, Devon, thanks to the work of Rotarian Jerry Palby. A grant from Historic England allowed this project to preserve the legacy of Sir Francis whilst providing a more comprehensive look at his history, namely his work in the slave trade. As well as the information panel, an educational programme has also been developed for schools in consultation with Tavistock College, which covers the history of Francis Drake, the development of the transatlantic slave trade, and issues surrounding modern-day slavery. The programme is set to be made available to all Rotarians via the newly formed Rotary for Slave-Free Communities group. The project had faced delays in getting off the ground due to COVID-19 and a series of protests by militant groups outside of the town, a reminder of just how contentious the debate was surrounding tributes to British icons with problematic pasts. It was in the wake of the 2020 Black Lives Matter protests and the toppling of Edward Colston's statue in Bristol, discussions started surrounding the statue of Francis Drake, which had originally been erected in 1883 to commemorate his Tavistock origins. There were rival petitions started by local residents, with one calling for the removal of Drake's statue and the other campaigning for its preservation. At the time, Jerry Palby reflected, "In many places, these global protests have led people to question the way in which statues tell the stories of or celebrate the past, reigniting an ongoing debate as to how we should remember and memorialise historical figures, particularly those with ties to slavery." Tavistock Town Council had also already received a letter from the Vice Principal of Tavistock College on behalf of current and former students asking for the removal of the statue as well as the removal of Drake's name from their school house. After discussions with the College, Tavistock Town Council, Tavistock Heritage Trust and representatives from Rotary, it was agreed that the pupils and parents of the school, as well as residents of Tavistock, should be consulted about what happened with the statue. A working group was formed with councillors, Rotarians and heritage specialists to develop a questionnaire for the school and town. The results of the questionnaire showed that the majority wanted the statue to remain, but that there should also be more detailed information provided about Francis Drake and the history of the slave trade, spawning the idea for the information panel and the school programme. Sandra Stancliffe, Historic England's Head of Education, Inclusion and Volunteering, told the Tavistock Times, "Historic England has been delighted to support this important project, which will help tell a more complete story of Drake's life. It will enable children to discover their local heritage and develop an understanding of how that relates to our national story and to contemporary issues." Tavistock Rotary President Martin Webb also said, "Rotary International has been involved in raising awareness of the issues surrounding modern slavery for several years, and education is also a key aspect of our community work." Who was Sir Francis Drake? Sir Francis Drake was an explorer from back in the Tudor era, perhaps most famous for being the first Englishman to sail around the world from 1577 to 1580, becoming only the second person ever to complete a circumnavigation. Seen as a hero in England at the time, the Spanish had a very different opinion of him after his time as a privateer for the government, when he regularly pillaged Spanish settlements and captured their ships. Although not widely publicised until recently, Sir Francis Drake was one of Britain's first successful slave traders alongside his cousin John Hawkins. They would routinely attack African coastal villages in countries like Guinea and Sierra Leone, kidnapping whole communities, taking them to the West Indies and selling them to the Spanish. Their last expedition was compromised by a Spanish ambush, catalysing the long-standing hatred between Francis Drake and Spain. Drake also played a key role in the late 1580s in England's war with Spain, serving as a vice-admiral as England defeated the Spanish Armada. His notable achievements during the conflict, including rescuing a failed English settlement from the Roanoke Islands, disrupting the Armada's preparations by destroying their ships in Cadiz, and famously sending ships that were on fire into the Spanish fleet, causing them to break formation. His other notable achievements included being knighted by Queen Elizabeth I and serving as the Mayor of Plymouth during his years back in England.
Saving the heart of the community. Rotary North East has been active with supporting its communities by supplying defibrillators. Their need is real, Sue Campbell reports. Anthony Ryan was swimming with two friends off Roker Beach in Sunderland. He was wearing a wetsuit and had a tow float with him. About 100 metres offshore, the trio rested, but his friends saw him floating on his back and realised something was wrong. Anthony had experienced a cardiac arrest. His friends got him back to the beach, shouting for help, and two bystanders came to their aid and started CPR. Two off-duty nurses then joined them. They called 999, and one nurse ran to retrieve a nearby public access defibrillator. CPR and two shocks from the defibrillator, and Anthony started breathing again. On arrival of the ambulance service staff and the Great North East Air Ambulance, Anthony received two further shocks and was stabilised. He was ultimately taken to the Freeman Hospital in Newcastle, where he had a pacemaker stroke defibrillator implanted. And fortunately, it's never been needed. This story was told by Anthony, who is 52, to Phil Hopps while they were on a defibrillator awareness walk in Washington Tyne and Wear. It was an event attended by Rotary North East's One Life initiative, which enables communities to site life-saving community defibrillators across the patch, and which Phil helps lead. Phil said, on discussing his experience, he said to me that it was a miracle, and if it hadn't been for the help everyone gave him and the availability of a defibrillator, his kids wouldn't have a dad. It brought it home to me again just how valuable community defibrillators are. If just one life is saved, it makes it all worthwhile. Phil runs the initiative with the small team of North East Rotarians, himself, Tom Sharples and Barbara Broadbelt from Durham Elvet, and Tony Jackson from Newton Aycliffe. It was started in 2020-21, when Barbara was Rotary North East District Governor. It's now in its third year and has seen the sighting of more than 75 defibrillators in places such as Middlesbrough, Sunderland, Saltburn, Washington, Peterlee, Seaham, Consett, Durham and Bishop Auckland, with more in the pipeline. One of the first to be commissioned, was in a disused phone box on Palace Green near the Durham Cathedral World Heritage Site. Phil explained the history. It was originally going to be a one-year project, but two things happened. One was the pandemic, which stopped everything, and the other was the enthusiasm with which people wanted to get involved. Rotary doesn't fund the defibrillators, but offers advice and help with community fundraising. The initiative has a partnership with WEL Medical Limited, who supply defibrillators and cabinets, and they are often installed by local electricians, cut price or free. One Life also delivers familiarisation sessions to show people how they work and how to do CPR. The equipment can be sighted in all sorts of places, outside shops, pubs, community centres, as long as they are accessible to the community. Phil tells a story of how a local cricket club had a defibrillator sighted inside the pavilion, obviously only usable when the premises were open. They heard about our project and we worked with them to re-site it outside the club. It was funded by a community effort and installed free by a local electrician, and the very next day it was used to save someone's life. The initiative has had a secondary unexpected benefit. At one site, a local village community hall, of which Tom is the chairman, the defibrillator was vandalised by a number of youths who were identified. Instead of wrapping them over the knuckles, in partnership with the local police, the initiative brought them in and taught them about defibrillators and CPR. So far, nearly 80 young people have been through the process and received much prize certificates of achievement from the local MP. The team continues to promote the initiative across the region. To help, Tom came up with the idea of using two mascot costumes, dubbed Sparky and Casey, which go along to village fetes, community events, schools and the like. Children love them, and they make people smile and spark interest in the adults, said Phil. Phil and his colleagues spend a lot of time on the road, helping communities start their own fundraising activities and providing help and advice to interested parties, from the early considerations through to the ongoing requirements once a defibrillator has been installed. The team maintains a close liaison with the North East Ambulance Service, who have publicly acknowledged the work Rotary has done to increase the number of defibrillators across the North East and by raising awareness through community engagement. Phil acknowledges the project has taken over a slice of his life, meeting communities, checking defibrillators, talking to fundraisers. When my wife and I go out for a drive, she'll often say, "I don't know where we're going, but I know there'll be a defibrillator at the end of it."
Petrolheads going full throttle. Peter J. Griffiths, chairman of the Rotary Retro Automobile Fellowship, describes why they're a fast-growing community. Some Rotarians are stimulated by the smell of freshly roast coffee. For others, it's the unmistakable whiff of hot Castrol racing oil that gets them going. A huge number of our colleagues throughout the UK are petrolheads, men and women who cherish their classic car, rare roadster, or retro pride and joy. Many want to enjoy them more, particularly in the company of like-minded enthusiasts. The Federation of British Historic Vehicle Clubs, FBHVC, recently reported there are nearly 1.6 million historic vehicles registered on the DVLA database, up 50% from 2016. Britain has 684,000 classic car owners, up 38% from 2016, so we're a fast-growing community. Classic car-loving Rotarians are particularly well catered for by the Rotary Retro Automobile Fellowship, RRAF. The RRAF was formally launched at the 1995 Rotary GB&I Conference. It currently boasts around 100 members. The first RRAF tour was the Centenary Rally in 2007, and except for a COVID hiatus, there has been at least one RRAF-organised tour every year since. RRAF is probably the most active chapter in the Global Rotary Classic Car Fellowship, ACHAFR, Antique, Classic and Historic Automobile World Fellowship of Rotarians. ACHAFR currently embraces national chapters in Europe, North America, Australia, New Zealand, Austria, Finland, Sweden, Switzerland and Latin America. Unlike so much of what we do in Rotary, the fellowship is not about raising funds. There is no tin-shaking or self-flagellation for the greater good. Its friendly focus is fun with classic cars. Leverty underlined when a founding member of the conference tour parked his Sunbeam Alpine outside the Bournemouth Pavilion. He reported that a passerby came up to him and said, "Let me shake you by the hand. I lost my virginity in a Sunbeam Alpine." "I took his hand," he said, and replied, "Let me shake you by the hand. How the hell did you manage it?" Our tours are cloverleaf events with two or three formal driving days based at one hotel. Each car is given a road book with easily understood tulip diagrams indicating the route. Distances are moderate in consideration for more elderly vehicles, and coffee and lunch stops are at interesting sites or places of interest. At final night banquets, prizes are awarded to winners of various categories, perhaps a photo recognition competition, a regularity test, oldest car, and nearest mileage to the roadbook total. There is always a booby prize of a tow rope or jump leads for the inevitable team which breaks down and has to be rescued. Often we take over an entire hotel, and places are always limited by the number of rooms available. Recent events have seen as many as 40 cars participating. Apart from UK tours, the latest 2022 event being in West Cornwall, the Fellowship also organises tours across the Channel. There have been RRAF rallies in Brittany, the Loire and Normandy. Another major Normandy event is planned for September 2024. Our events always attract a handful of overseas Rotarians, mainly from the Netherlands, Germany and Italy. A benefit of RRAF membership is that we in turn are invited to participate in European ACHAFR tours. We have recently enjoyed brilliant events in Italy and Bavaria, organised by the RRAF equivalents of those countries. The RRAF is not stuffy or elitist, nor are we anal about what constitutes a classic. Our members turn up in just about anything from 1930s beauties to home-built replicas and interesting cars from recent decades. We always invite the mayor of the town where we are based to flag off the competitors on the first morning of the tour. On our Brittany event, the mayor kindly invited us to a champagne reception at the historic Hôtel de Ville. He gathered the local media and had bollards removed from the sandstone forecourt so the cars could be arranged for viewing. Sadly, one of our members was so keen to get at the champers and canapes, he forgot to put the cardboard he always carried under his incontinent Austin 7. A week later, a French friend sent me a copy of the local paper. There was good coverage of our Rotary event, but one picture was of a black oil splodge on a flagstone with the caption, "British retro car enthusiasts leave their mark on Tréguier," quite literally. I'm sure they've forgiven us by now. Of course, there are companies which organise excellent classic car tours, but they're commercial profit-making enterprises. RRAF tours are such good value because our officials are volunteers and we only aim to break even. Any surplus subsidises subsequent tours. So for fun, fellowship and fine cuisine, join the friendly Rotary Retro Automobile Fellowship. Information. Application forms can be downloaded from our website, www.rraf.co.uk. Rotary Profile. Find out why our volunteers give up their time to help transform communities. Profile. Name, Mike Parry. Rotary Club, Cardiff Bay Rotary. Occupation, Chartered Quality Practitioner. Question. You have long been involved with the Rotary Foundation. Why does it mean that much to you? As I learnt about the Rotary Foundation's, TRF's, vast range of humanitarian and educational projects, a frequent question was, where does the money come from? It was this simple question which led me to realise Rotarians' generosity to the Foundation. I wanted to be involved. Vocationally, the subset of auditing fitted nicely into TRF's cadres. At the time, this was constrained to sample audits of projects, but now includes offering advice on preparing grant applications. My first TRF audit was to a village in Transylvania, where an orphanage was managing the adverse consequences of communism. Further audits have taken me across Europe and to Remba, a remote island in the middle of Lake Victoria. The audit involvement led me to a heart-searching experience when I was RI's representative for a World Health Organization's and a post-polio outbreak surveillance team to Ethiopia. There, I experienced the moment a young boy and his family, who had been ostracized from their village, were told that the boy did not have polio, so they could return to the village and restart their lives in a desolate area where community support was essential. Question. You are involved with the Rotary Foundation of the United Kingdom. What is that all about? The link with Foundation and how funds are raised has underpinned my Rotary experience. The question of how to maximise contributions is never far from my mind. The UK government provided one answer through a scheme for charity donations to benefit taxpayers through gift aid. RF UK is a dynamic organisation and benefits from new initiatives such as Polio Plus Society, which joins other recognition schemes from sustaining members right through the spectrum to Arch Klumpf Society members to fit all pockets of those living and those passed on as legacy agreements benefit RFUK as well as inheritance taxation. Question. You are part of the Disaster Recovery Grant Scheme for the Ukraine. How successful has that been? Rotary GB and I was fast to establish a task force of Rotarians with specialised skills when the Ukraine conflict started. The task force quickly established a protocol on the lines of TRF's community assessment model. TRF's disaster response grants were maximised, consuming all the donated funds. Question. Outside of Rotary, you have a passion for croquet. Is it really a brutal game? The game looks so simple, yet frustration levels quickly build up when one realises the playing surface is constantly changing and the balls are only very slightly smaller than the hoops. My competitive streak has been rewarded with a place in the Welsh team for the home internationals and a place in the World Team Championships, where we achieved a place in the finals against the host nation Spain. Rotary gets a mention at each game, as the old Rotary logo on my white fleece is still in use. If you have a story to tell and would like to be featured in Rotary in Profile, email editor@rotarygbi.org.
As editor of Rotary magazine, it's normally my task to write the And Finally column. However, this month, I've given that over to John Donnell. John is the Regional Foundation Coordinator for Great Britain and Ireland, Region 2021. And so these are his words under the headline of The World Needs the Rotary Foundation More Than Ever. A while ago, I was discussing the consequences of the local hospital being closed with the manager of the health board at a Rotary Club lunch. I asked what would happen to all the equipment. This led to large quantities of equipment, from hospital beds to seemingly mundane items such as drip stands, being collected by Rotarians, packed in containers, and shipped to the Philippines. The storage and shipping were funded by my club in Melton Mowbray, Leicestershire, jointly with a grant from the Rotary Foundation. Fast forward then a few months and a visit to the Philippines. We are driving along the valley floor in subtropical heat of a post-rainstorm Philippines day, surrounded by lush rice paddies, mango plantations and farmers working in fields. Beyond the fields on either side, the hills rose steeply, generally covered in trees. Worryingly, in the distance, we could see a vivid brown scar through the trees. A landslide had been triggered by recent heavy rains. Thousands of tons of rock, soil and debris had swept down the hillside to completely bury the village of Guisangon under several feet of mud. The village school had been buried, along with every one of the children. It was estimated that over 1,200 people died that day. We had come to visit the health care centres and clinics in the region around Guisangon, knowing that much of the medical equipment from the Leicestershire Hospital had been sent to the area. The Rotary moment came when a woman in one of the clinics came towards me. She was cradling a very young baby in her arms, smiled at me, and indicated the maternity bed and other equipment around us. She said, "Thank you for the equipment. With that, you saved my baby." It was at that moment, in the remote valley in the Philippines, that I truly felt the power of Rotary and the value of our own charity. The Rotary Foundation is helping us all to make the world a better place. Millions of dollars pour into projects created by Rotarians and clubs. These figures from the past year show that contributing to the Rotary Foundation really makes a difference to people's lives, both at home and overseas. For example, clubs in Great Britain and Ireland received approval for 295 projects worth $6.5 million. 138 of these projects were large projects receiving global grants. The remainder were funded by district grants. The largest project was funded to the tune of $146,000. The projects were all over the world, including about 200 taking place in Great Britain and Ireland. I am proud of being a Rotarian and of donating to our own charity, the Rotary Foundation. Why? I have seen the value of the work of Rotarians supported by Rotary Foundation grants. I know how much care is taken to ensure our funds are spent wisely. I am reassured to know that well over 90% of the funds we donate go direct to the beneficiaries of our projects. Are you equally proud? Do you donate personally or as a club? Is the Rotary Foundation your charity of choice? I ask you to become a sustaining member. Join the Paul Harris Society. Include the Rotary Foundation in your will. In these difficult times, the world needs the Rotary Foundation more than ever. So that's it for the February issue of Rotary Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and do let me know what you think of the audio edition. I always enjoy receiving your correspondence. You can email me at editor@rotarygbi.org. Rotary Magazine has been presented by editor Dave King and a team of professional narrators. All items in this audio edition are copyright and owned by Rotary International, Great Britain and Ireland. A downloadable edition of this audio magazine for visually impaired members can be requested. The audio magazine is also available to download or stream by visiting the Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland website at rotarygbi.org/magazine. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us for the April issue when we will be assessing the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine 1 year on and the work of Rotary to support humanitarian relief in the region, as well as working with refugees on these shores. I look forward to you joining us next time.